Okay, today we're going to learn Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph of Maseche Sota. We're going to start talking about the Megillas Sota, which means the piece of parchment that they would use, that they would write the Shem Hashem and various things on, and in order to erase in the waters that the woman would ultimately drink. You know, the Torah says in Parshas Naso, V'kosaves ha'alos ha'ele ha'koin ba'sefer, that the Kohen writes these curses in a book, in a sefer, in a scroll, U'macha elmei ha'marim v'hishka se'isha, and he erases it in the bitter waters, and he gives it to the woman to drink. The Kohen has to write all of these things that are written in the Parsha Sota on a Sefer. So the Parsha Sota says things that are not curses also, and that's why we're going to have Machlokas Tanaim. What exactly is included, and what he has to write? It says in the Parsha of Sota lots of things. So says the Mishnah, Balo Lichtov Asa Megillah. When the Kohen now comes to write this Megillah, Me'ezem Makom U'Kosev, where in the Parsha of Sota does he begin? He starts from the phrase that if you hadn't done anything wrong, you're innocent, then you're going to be cleansed, you're going to be pure, you're going to be innocent, you'll be proven innocent, you'll be vindicated. So that's not really a curse, but nevertheless, and it's really a bracha, but nevertheless, it's included in what he has to write. And he also writes, Ve'at ki satis tachas isheich, and if you did stray, the eino kosef, but what he does not write is vishpia kohen es ha'isha. He doesn't write the instruction that the kohen has to make her swear, because that's just the Torah giving him instructions what to do. It's not part of what she has to be told. Vikosef, but then he writes yitein Hashem osach la'ala v'lishvua. And he also writes the following pasuk, Uvo amayim amarim ha'ele b'me'ayich litzvos batan v'lanpil yarech ve'eino kosev amrisha amen amen. But he does not write that the woman responds amen amen, because those words are just the sota accepting the repercussions of the process. Rabbi Yossi omer lo haya mafsik. Rabbi Yossi says no. Once he starts writing, he continues writing the pasukim straight. And that includes vishpi akoin asi isha, Bishvus ha'ala va'amra koin li'isha, and it includes va'amri isha amen amen. You don't skip parts of the parsha. Rabbi Yehuda omer kol atzmo eino kosev ella yitein Hashem osach la'ala v'lishvua. He doesn't write anything except for the actual curse. Uvo ha'mayim hamarim eila b'me'ayich ve'eino kosev va'amri isha amen amen, and he does not write va'amri isha amen amen. So says B'mai Kamifli, what is this machlokas tanaim in the Mishnah really about, that each one has a different opinion about what you write in the Megillah Sota? So says Mar Bahai Krakamifli, they're arguing about how to interpret the pasuk. V'kasves ha'alos ha'ela ha'koin ba'sefer. That's what the pasuk says, that he writes ha'alos ha'ela ha'koin ba'sefer. So Rameir says, okay, what does he write? Well, take each word in the pasuk. Alos, alos mamish. The word alos means that he has to write the actual curses in the parsha. Ha'alos, the extra hey, l'rabos kolos habos machmas brachos, includes those curses that are only derived from the mention of the brachos, meaning if you're told what the bracha is if you're innocent, you could understand that when you're guilty, the opposite happens. And then Eila, Lemute Klolos of Mishnah Torah. Eila is meant to exclude those klolos that are written in Sefer Devarim. And Ha'ela, Lemute Tzavos V'Kabalos Amein. Ha'ela comes to exclude whatever instructions the Torah is giving to the Kohen and the woman own acceptance by saying amen. Rabbi Yossi, kuluk et kamrat. Rabbi Yossi says, we darshan the whole pasuk the same way Rabbi Meir darshan, that alos are the alos mamish, and ha alos are the klolos that come about as a result of the bracha, and eila is mimayit the klolos of Mishra Torah. But the ha Eila, he disagrees with Rameir about it. He holds that we don't darshan it to be mimayit savos v'kabalos, because the Torah says es ha'alos, and S is a riboy, and therefore l'rabos tzavos v'kabalos, tells us to include the tzavos and kabalos. V'Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir, how does he mimayit from the hay of ha'ela, the tzavos and the kabalos? Aye, what about the S? Well, very simply, esim lo darish. Rabbi Meir thinks that you can't make drashos from the word S in the Torah. V'Rabbi Yehuda kulu b'mi'ute darish lu, and Rabbi Yehuda holds that every hay in the pasuk is darshened as a miut. Alos, alos mamish. Alos refers to what's explicit in the pasuk, the curses. Ha alos limute klalos habaos machmos brachos. Not to include, but to exclude those curses that are only understood from the context of the brachos. Eile limute klalos in Mishnah Torah. Eile comes to exclude those klalos in Mishnah Torah. Ha eile, the extra hey, limute tzavos v'kabalos, also comes to exclude tzavos v'kabalos. So says Gemara, well, my Reverend Meir, Mishnah hai hey demarbi bay, Mishnah hai hey demoit bay. Reb Meir's shita doesn't seem to make much sense. Reb Yehuda's consistent, because Reb Yehuda takes every hay and is mimait from every hay. But Reb Meir, when it comes to the hay that says alos, ha alos, he darshins larabos. When it comes to the hay of ha'ela, he darshins to be mimait. So hey degabi deribuy ribuyu, hey degabi miuta demiuta. Now, very simply, Reb Meir holds that you have to look at the context of the hay. If the hay is attached to a word that itself is a ribuy, then you're marbe from the hay. If the hay is attached to a word that itself is a mute, then you're mimait from the hay. Very logical. So ask Gemara v'alesli Rameir mechla lava toshmehein. But we find Rameir holds that a person says he's not going to do this if certain tanai is not fulfilled. We do not derive from there that he will do if the tanai is fulfilled. You have to actually spell it out. You need to spell out both sides of the equation. So why does Rameir hold that the Kohen writes in the Megillah, Im lo shachav isho sach v'im lo satis tumatachas yishech hinokim me'amar marim eile, the bracha that should be vindicated and proven innocent, from that bracha we learn the klala, but Rabbi Meir is generally, Rabbi Meir doesn't hold that way. So says Amar, I'm Rabbi Tanchum, hinaki ksiv. The Torah says hinaki, not hinaki with a yud, and the mashmaos is hinaki, that it's a lashon of chanika, that it's not really mechlal lava tashmei hein, mechlal hein atashmei lav. It's not really that because the Torah used the lashon of bracha, so we're deriving the lashon of klala. No, in the words itself, we find the lashon of klala. Okay, so main point number one, we have three different shittos in the Mishnah of exactly what is written in the Megillah Sota, and the Gemara explains the basis in Psukim for each of those three shittos. Now says Gemara, Darash Rabbi Akiva, Ish v'isha zachu shechina b'nehem. If a man and a woman are zoche, then they will have the shechina reside amongst them. But lo zachu, eisho chalton. If they're not zoche, then a fire will consume them. Amar Rava, the isha adifa midi'ish. The fire of a woman is a more consuming fire than that of a man. My time, because in the word isha, aleph and shin, ish, are right next to each other. The hay is afterwards. In the word ish, aleph and shin are not right next to each other. It is separated by the letter yud. It's the yud and the yud from the ish, the hay from the isha. That's the shechina, right? So when there's the shechina amongst them, neither of them are on fire. You take away the shechina, the yud and the hay, and they're on fire. Amar of neimam Torah ha. Have afar le sota. Why does the Torah say that we bring dirt for the sota juice? So zach se yotzimenek ben kavram avinu d'chsev be afar ve'efer lo zach se v'tachzor le'afara. It's to symbolize the potential of that moment, that if she is innocent, she will be zocha to have a child the likes of Avram Avinu, who is referred to as afar ve'efer. But if she's not zocha, then she's going to have to return to the dust. Another drasha, darash rava b'schar shamar Avram Avinu. Because Avram Avinu said, Anochi offer ve'efer, his descendants were privileged to receive two mitzvahs, the mitzvah of paraduma and the mitzvah of sota. Now, of all mitzvahs relating to dirt, why would you associate it with the dirt of a sota? Why not say the dirt of kisui hadam, which is also a dirt-related mitzvah? Now, it says in Gemara, hasam hechsher mitzvah ika. By the mitzvah of kisui hadam, you're fulfilling a hechsher mitzvah, but hana'a leka. There's no actual hana'a, because even if you don't cover the dam, you're allowed to eat the meat of the oaf or the chaya that you shechted. So you're not really getting schar for the mitzvah, and you can't say that that's zocha. You know that because Avram Avinu said Anochi offer ve'efer, there was zocha to kisei adam. Kisei adam doesn't really come with any benefits, whereas the offer sota does come with benefits. And if she's innocent, it will be a source of great bracha for her. Darash Rav b'schar sha'amar Avram Avinu imichut v'atzrochnal. The schar that Avram Avinu said that to the Melech Sodom, if I take even michut v'atzrochnal, Hanal zochu banav l'shtei mitzvos. His children, his descendants, were zochet to two mitzvos. Chut shel tcheles, ritzur shel tefillin. The chut of tcheles, the string of tcheles, and the strap of tefillin. So bishlam ritzur shel tefillin. I understand the ritzur of tefillin. I understand what the schar is. D'chsivro kalamei arz kishem eshem nikra alecha. I understand what the benefit is of having tefillin, because the pasuk says that everyone sees us when we wear tefillin, v'yarum mimak, and they're going to be terrified of us. So that's a great personal benefit. V'tayin Reb Elazar Gadol Omer, elu tefillin shebarosh. That's a reference to the tefillin that are on our heads. El chut shel tchei, it says birosh, in our heads. That's the vart that they say, that it's not enough to put your tefillin on your head. You gotta make your tefillin a part of you. El chut shel tcheles maihi. But what is the example? What's the hana'a that one gets from having a chut shel tcheles? What's the great schar? V'tayin Yehaira Meir Omer, man shtana tcheles mikol mine tzivonim. Why tcheles, of all the colors that could have been chosen for tzitzit? It's because tcheles is the same color as the ocean. V'yam dom l'rukia, and the ocean is similar in color to the sky. V'rukia dom l'kisei hakavod, and the rukia is similar to the kisei hakavod. Shneamar v'yiru as elokei yisrael v'tachas raglav k'masei levnasas hapir uke'etzem hashamayim l'tohar. That under the raglei hashchina you have the shamayim, which looks like levnasas hapir, which is the look of a sapir. Uksiv k'mara evin sapir dumus kisei. That the look of the Kisei HaKavod is Kemaras HaSapir. So that's telling us that anyone who's Mekayim in the midst of Tzitzis, it's as if he was Mekabel Pnei Shechina, and that is the Hana'a that Pnei Yisrael benefits. B'zuchus Avraham Avinu saying, Imichot V'yatzroch Nal. So main point number two over here is that we have four different Agadic statements about Soto or Avraham Avinu or both, but the two in particular that we'll highlight is that because he said Anochi Afar ve'Efer we rezoche to Efer Para and Afar Sota, and because he said in Michut v'Atzroch Nal we rezoche to the great benefits of the Chut Shel Tcheles and the Ritzua Shel Tfilin. So Be'ez Hashem will stop there and we'll pick up at the Mishnah next time.